in our worship together today. Brothers and sisters, this week we're going to begin a new series together looking at claiming the Methodist tribe. Claiming the Methodist tribe. We live in a day and an age where mainline denominations, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopal, even Southern Baptists, we're struggling to connect with the community as well as we have in ages past. In this day and age, we see a lot of what you might call, I guess call them warehouse churches that are cropping up everywhere, non-denominational, but they do a great job in sharing Jesus, and I'd rather have people going to churches there than not going to church anywhere. But I do believe that there's still value that we as Methodists can offer our faith, our church, our community in the 21st century. And so over the next several weeks, I want us to look at what makes us a little distinct as a Christian tribe with a little T. You know, we're followers of Jesus with a big F and J, but we're a little tribe of that. And so today we want to look a little deeper at who we are as United Methodists and how we can celebrate that the Lord has blessed us with 70 million like-minded followers of Jesus all over the world. So God has blessed us in that. And I think there is a witness we have in the 21st century that is an opportunity to make an impact. And so to jump into this, we're going to be looking at one of our founders, John Wesley, an Anglican clergyman in the Church of England 300 years ago. One of his favorite letters in the New Testament was 1 John. So we want to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 today. And I'll be reading out of the New Revised Standard Version. I usually do the NIV, but I think the NRSV does a better capturing this scripture translation from what you might call a little more Methodist perspective. So this is how it goes. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. So by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. So God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, that is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love again because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, help me lift you up as we say thank you for calling a group of guys like John and Charles Wesley to start a new Christian movement that you have blessed for 300 years. And Lord, we pray that we might continue to walk in that blessing, not because we're special, but because we love you and we want to be faithful to your work and call and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we look at why be a Methodist in the 21st century, why not just go to a generic McChurch, warehouse church kind of place, why Methodist? Well, y'all, it started with a fella, as I said, primarily John Wesley, though Charles Wesley and the hymns that fill this hymn book of his also shape our hearts and lives in big ways. But John Wesley and his thoughts and what God did in and through his life are some of the primary reason we're here. And John started in college a little group called the Holy Club, and in that Holy Club, pretty soon people around him were saying, man, they just have this method that they do to practice their faith. And before too long, people were calling them Methodists. And John said, sounds like a good name. I guess we can claim that name, Methodist. And we were off and rolling. And as I shared now today, there are 70 million Methodist followers of Jesus all over the world. Some are Wesleyan, some are Free Methodist, some are Nazarene, some are Methodists in Asia, and some are Methodists in Africa, and some are Methodists in Latin America. But we're a part of a good-sized family, and it's a unique family in some ways, and so I want to share a little bit about that today. And one of the unique ways that Wesley framed his faith is his understanding of the nature of God. Our Presbyterian brothers and sisters, for instance, when they think of God, they primarily think of God in terms of being judge and in terms of being the sovereign king. And so when they think about God, those are the images that come to mind for our Presbyterian brothers and sisters first. God is king, he rules everything, and we better obey him because he is our judge. But when Wesley came to that question again, he was deeply influenced by 1 John. And in 1 John, the picture we get of our Father is that of Father first, rather than king and judge. Not that king and judge are not true, not that we still believe God is king and judge, but for us, sort of the crowning nature of our relationship is God is Father. And so that's one of the first things we notice out of the influence of 1 John on Wesley's life. And as he began to shape what a Methodist is, because in the early days there were the Methodists around and people had no clue, what is this new group of Christians? What's this new group of Jesus followers? They seem a little weird. They seem a little different. We want to know who they are. So John said, well, okay, if that's the case, I'll just write a little article and we can make copies of it and spread it around. And so he wrote a little thing called The Character of a Methodist. Any of you heard The Character of a Methodist? Well, I'm going to share some of The Character of the Methodist with you today. But basically, it comes down to this picture we see in 1 John, that in John, we learn that we were created to love God, right? And to love others. Seems like somebody important said that too, right? Jesus, maybe? We're here to love God and we're here to love others. And so in The Character of a Methodist, John just expounds on that reality that we are people of the great commandment. And so he says this in The Character of a Methodist about loving God. A Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost that's been given to him or her. The one who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. God is the joy of his heart, the desire of his soul, which is constantly crying out, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth I desire beside thee. My God and my all, Thou art the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Therefore he is happy in God, yes, always happy, as having in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life and overflowing his soul with peace and joy, perfect love, having now cast out fear, he rejoices forevermore. Now that last line, did you catch it? Where was that last line from? Didn't we just read that in 1 John? I think so. I tell you, he likes 1 John. Perfect love, having now cast out fear, he rejoices forevermore. But what Wesley shares here is that as Methodists, we start with that basic great commandment that we are here to love God. But Wesley realizes what 1 John shares with us, and that's not really where we begin. We don't start by loving God. 1 John tells us something different, doesn't he? He says, it's not that we loved God, it's that God loved us first. And because God has loved us, then we are able to love him back. And Wesley notes that key here in this text. He says that very first line, a Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit that's been given to him. That is, Wesley understood that God has to pour in what we are to pour out. And if we don't let God pour in, then we're not able to pour out. And so we must learn to let God pour his love. And by that love, again, the Greek word, many of you have heard it, agape. That agape, unconditional love, must come in before it can go out. And so the very first word we read in 1 John shares that. Did you catch that first word? It only comes through in the NRSV and other translations like it. Beloved. Brothers and sisters, you are beloved, children of God. Now? I hope so. Okay, there we go. God loves you. Let God pour his love into your heart. Let him pour it into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, because only when you let God pour his love in are you able to love him back. And only as you let God pour his love in are you able to love those around you, to love one another. Because though we start with loving God, John goes on and says the second part of that is what Jesus told us, and that is we're here to love one another. We're here to love one another. In fact, John Wesley had three rules in terms of how to live God's best life. I hope you know, if you've been Methodist a while, I hope you know what three rules these are, because if you haven't learned them yet, then you're a little behind. Because this is the heart of how Wesley saw to live out our faith in practice. The first two have to do with loving one another, right? The first thing Wesley said, if you want to love each other, first, your first principle of life is do no harm. Do no harm. If you do someone harm, guess what? You've probably sinned against them. In fact, you're probably guaranteed you've sinned against them. When we harm another human being on the planet, that's a sign that we have sinned and we are guilty of sin. And so the first principle of life is do no harm to ourselves, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our enemies. The second principle he gave out, the second rule, is do good. Go and do good to yourself. Do good to your neighbor. Do good to those around you. And then the third has to do with loving God. Reuben Job said, stay in love with God. That's how he described this third one. Wesley wouldn't have put it that way. Wesley would say it this way. Wesley would say, those things God has told you to do to get to know him better, do them. If Jesus preaches a sermon and says, when you pray, then guess what? You ought to pray. If Jesus gives you a sermon and says, when you fast, then guess what? We ought to fast. from social media or from food occasionally or from other things so that we can grow closer in our relationship with God. If Jesus says that every Saturday you found him in synagogue on the Sabbath, then guess what? It's a good habit to be in church on a Sunday, because that's the kind of thing that Jesus valued in life. If Jesus says, guess what? You know, I experienced baptism for your sakes, so you ought to be baptized too for the repentance and forgiveness of your sins. Do that as well. If Jesus, with his disciples, gathered them together right before he died and said, let's break meal together, and as I break this bread, I give you my body. As I celebrate this cup, this is my blood of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Take, eat, do these things in remembrance of me. So that's what Wesley said to do. Search the scriptures to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do the things God has called us to do, and you will find life abundant. Those are the three rules. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God by doing the kinds of things he encourages us to do. We can do that, right? I think so. So this helps us, again, be the bridge to how we love one another. And so Wesley talks about the importance of loving one another in the character of a Methodist. This is what he says. The one who loves God loves his brothers and sisters also. And he loves his neighbor as much as he loves himself. He loves every person as his own soul. His heart is full of love to all humanity, to every child of the Father, of the spirits of all flesh, that a man is not, if he, that is, and I'm trying to translate and make it a little more modern, if a person is not personally known to him, he still loves him. No, perhaps he knows somebody and he doesn't approve of the way that person lives, and perhaps that person repays him hatred for his goodwill, but still he loves. He loves his enemy. He loves the enemies of God, the evil and the unthankful. And if it be not in his power to do good to them that hate him, yet he does not cease to pray for them. Though they continue to spurn his love, still despitefully use him and persecute him, for he is pure in heart. The love of God has purified his heart of all revengeful passions, from envy and malice and wrath, from every unkind temper of mind or malignant affection of heart. That is, we're to love one another. We don't have to like them, but we're commanded to love them. And so one of the ways we do that, we said, do no harm. The second way we said is to do good. So guess what? John Wesley gives us even greater example and says, this is what it looks like to do good. He goes on and says, lastly, as he has time, he does good to all people, to his neighbors and strangers, to friends and enemies, that in every possible kind, not only to their bodies, by doing things like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those that are sick or in prison, but much more does he labor to do good to their souls, as to the ability which God gives to awaken those that sleep in death, to bring those who are awakened to the atoning blood of Jesus and being justified by faith in Christ, that they may have peace with God, and provoke those who have peace with God to abound more in love and in good works, that he is willing to spend his life and be spent therein, to be offered up to the sacrifice and service of their faith, so that they may all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Wow! That sounds like high expectations. But that's what being good and doing good looks like. And here's the interesting thing where I think, for me, why I still, after all these years, love the Methodist Church and have given my life for the Methodist Church is it's because we're a church that combines at our best a passion for Jesus and his saving grace with a desire to turn that love into action that does good for our neighbors, for our community, and for our world. We don't see it as we are committed to one or the other. We see that Jesus has called us to be and do and act out of both. If, for instance, we talk about sort of our hashtag here, our motto here, being bring the hope of Jesus to the community. And sometimes, you know, what does that look like? Does that look like sharing Jesus and our faith in Jesus? Definitely. Definitely. Does that mean feeding the sick, or healing the sick, clothing the poor, visiting those in prison? Definitely. It definitely includes those. And as a Methodist movement, we've been doing this for a long, long time. John Wesley, before he had had his heartwarming experience at Aldersgate, and I'll tell more about that probably in the weeks ahead, but before he had that experience, he was a college student at Oxford, and they got together, as I said, in this holy club, and the holy club began doing these methods, doing no harm, doing good, praying together, seeking scripture together. They began doing all this stuff all the time and getting labeled Methodists, and as they began doing all this stuff, they began saying, you know what? We're here to do good. That's one reason he came and was a missionary to Georgia, I think, is because he thought that's what a child of God does. But not only that, they would visit the sick, they would go into the prisons, they would visit the hospitals, they would go into poor towns and work with the poor, they would start schools for children that didn't have a place to go to school. John Wesley was concerned for our health, and so he wrote a book called The Primitive Physic about how to live a healthy life as a human being and take care of your body. You know, I mean, if it could help somebody have a better life, John Wesley did it and told people to do it. And so we just have this amazing combination of both sharing our faith in Jesus as the hope of all creation, but also sharing what it looks like to be a good neighbor, a kind neighbor, a neighbor who wants to turn what we do to make a difference. And I think that's what our world needs as much as anything. One of the things I love about this church is we have tended to be a church that connects a whole bunch of people together. You know, for those that are more conservative in their theology and think we just need to share Jesus, yes, we're all about that. For those that are maybe a little more progressive in their bent and say we need to love the poor, we need to turn our faith into action, we need to get out and do something to make there less racism in the world and there less, you know, ethnocentrism in the world. That's a fancy word for putting down people in other cultures, you know. You know, we got to value our Hispanic neighbors, and we need to value our Asian neighbors, and we need to value our Middle Eastern neighbors, and we need to share with them the love of Jesus. We've kind of been the body that's done that and said, both of those components are important. There's a home here for you if you love Jesus, and if you want to live out your faith, this is who we are. You know, we tend to be a church that tries not to polarize people. We tend to be a church that says, if you love Jesus, let's come together and do something good for God's glory. Because that's who John Wesley was. You know, Wesley believed that slavery was evil and needed to be abolished before it was popular. Did you know that? Early Methodists, we didn't like slavery a whole lot. Until it kind of came to America, and here in America, you know, the South, we were so baptized in slavery that we kind of got brainwashed, to be honest. And we lost that distinctive. But early on, Wesley realized that that was something that needed to end. He worked with people like William Wilberforce and prayed for William Wilberforce and his work to end it in England. These kinds of things are who we are, brothers and sisters. We love God, and we find ways to love each other. Amen? Now, just a little bit more. In our love for God, though, it includes all of who God is. We've been talking primarily of God the Creator, God the Father, God who created all humanity, God's creation. We care for creation. But there are other dimensions to who God is, right? Jesus is God the Son, the Holy Spirit as well. And we see the emphasis John shares about that in the 13th verse again. By this we know that we abide in God the Father and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe in the love that God has for us. Brothers and sisters, when John talks about God, he talks about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's important. We are definitely Trinitarian followers of Jesus Christ. We not only love God the Father, who created all of us and created all that we see, we also love Jesus. We love Jesus, we follow Jesus, we believe in the things that Jesus shares in this book, and so we value not only Jesus, but we value the word of Jesus. And Wesley believed in that strongly. He believed in salvation by grace through faith in a person in Jesus Christ. He believes that's how we experience God's saving grace, which we'll talk about in future weeks. That's how he experienced God's saving grace. He believed in Scripture. He says, I am a man of one book. If you're looking for how to live life, then you gotta have this book right here. Or this book right here, right? I'm a man of one book, he says. You go looking for life in other places, you're not gonna find it there. You'll find it in this book. He goes on and talks about that in the character of a Methodist. We believe indeed that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and herein we are distinguished from the Jewish folks and Turkish folks and infidels. We believe the written word of God to be the only and sufficient rule both of Christian faith and Christian practice, and herein we are fundamentally distinguished from those of the Roman Catholic Church. We believe Christ to be the eternal supreme God, and herein we are distinguished from the Socinians and the Arians. But as to all opinions which do not strike at the root of Christianity, we think and we let think, so that whatsoever they are, whether they are right or wrong, there are no distinguishing marks of a Methodist. Wesley says, we just want to be good followers of Jesus Christians. And this book helps us get there. And faith in Jesus is the only way to get there. And that does make us different, he says, from other groups that aren't followers of Jesus. But where there's variety within the Church of Jesus, we think and let think, and we love them, and we hope they'll love us. So these are things we value in our heritage that have made us who we are. And the final value is that we love the Holy Spirit. You know, as a kid, I remember looking at the insignia for the Methodist Church, right? The cross and the flame. And as a little kid, I got the cross. I'm like, okay, Jesus died on the cross. I get that. I understand why that, you know, would be part of our symbol. But I remember asking my granny, Granny, why is this flame here? That, you know, I don't get that. She says, well, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, as a Methodist people, we are people that embrace the power and presence and work of the Holy Spirit to transform hearts, to shape lives, to make us into new people. Brothers and sisters, John Wesley would go all over England, Charles would too, and they would preach to thousands of people. He'd like go to a coal mine. All the coal miners would come out during their lunch break, and they had nothing better to do because you didn't have an Apple iPhone to look at. Or anything like that. You didn't have TV, so you know the entertaining thing is, oh, here's this weird guy who's going to preach to us today. I guess we'll listen to what he has to say. And so he'd go around doing that, and as he would preach and call people to follow Jesus, you know what would happen? Some people in the front row would start lying down. Others would start giggling. Others would start praying. Others would start doing kind of weird stuff. Stuff today we would call charismatic kind of stuff. And after a while, Wesley just got used to it. He didn't encourage it, but he really didn't discourage it either. He just figured, well, if the Holy Spirit shows up and things kind of happen, then that's part of what God wants to do. And so he would just kind of go right along with his preaching and teaching. But the Holy Spirit's activity would often be working in kind of what we'd call charismatic ways through the Methodist movement. So much so that today there are denominations like the Church of God and some other Pentecostal denominations. Most of those Pentecostal denominations have their heritage, guess where? In the United Methodist Church. You know, the Pentecostal movement kind of spun out from us and spread all over the world, and it's, in many ways today, it's one of the most vibrant, growing areas of the Church of Jesus all over the world. Because people love the knowledge that they don't just think about God or whatever. They walk with God, they encounter God, they can experience God, they can live in his power, they can trust in his grace. And so in Wesley's day, the other thing they'd call them besides Methodists is they'd call them enthusiasts. Those Methodists, they are so enthusiastic. What's wrong with them? And John Wesley used to say, if you catch on fire with enthusiasm, people will come for miles to watch you burn. Because he knew that we are called to be an enthusiastic people who love Jesus, who love God, who love the Holy Spirit, who open our hearts to him and pray that he might change the world through us. That's who we are. That's who I want to be. Is that who you want to be? I hope so, because that's the kind of people, human beings that our world needs. People that love you when you're good. People that love you when you're bad. People that love you when you're on the right track. People that love you when you're way off base. People that follow Jesus wherever it takes them. People that will come from miles to watch you burn, because you're committed to bring the hope of Jesus to every nook and cranny of our community, of our nation, and even more of our world. So brothers and sisters, that's who we are. I pray if we can catch a glimpse of that and make that who we are today, then I think Methodist Church will keep on going and continue to do great things. And perhaps in another 10 or 20 years, there'll probably be 100 million Methodists rather than 70 million. But only if we say yes to Jesus. Only if we say yes to his love. Only if we love God and love one another. Only if we seek to be people that are peacemakers and bring others together. Only those kind of people are the ones that Wesley called Methodists. Just normal, enthusiastic followers of Jesus. May that be you and me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray.